And as we've been hearing, adherence to level 5 restrictions is reducing the reproduction rate of COVID-19. Neffat saying the number of people with the virus in hospital has peaked and plateaued. But our hospitals are still under strain and will be for some weeks to come. The number of patients in ICU expected to remain very high, the latest figures showing 217 patients in intensive care, hundreds of others receiving critical care outside of these units. Anne O'Connor is the HSE's Chief Operations Officer. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Mary.
And that is good news that the numbers have peaked and plateaued, but how much pressure and how much strain is still on staff in these units and in your hospitals?
Yeah, so Mary, we still have very high numbers, though the number has reduced a bit down to 1,803 last night. We know that that is still a very high number. It's more than double the number we had in the first wave of the pandemic. And as you said, we have, you know, still a very high number of people in ICU. Clearly, that puts a huge demand on our hospital system. We have still got a high level of absenteeism among all of our staff, and we are having to redeploy staff from across the hospitals into ICU. So at the minute, we have anything between 300 and 350 nurses redeployed into ICU to be able to cope with that very high number of 217. And as you correctly said, a high number of people then outside of ICU receiving intensive supports too.
And Fergal Bauer is giving us numbers earlier for hospitals like Waterford and Cork and St Vincent's. Are they the ones really, if you like, in the eye of the storm at the moment?
They are experiencing a very, very high demand. However, important to say that we have many hospitals who are really experiencing what they would see now as a crisis situation. I've previously said that the reality is that some of our smaller hospitals, even though the case numbers might be lower, have, you know, they really are in trouble when they get any kind of high numbers of COVID cases. So this is having an impact across our whole system, in the hospitals and outside the hospital in our community services too. And I think it's important that we think about the whole pathway here, because it does impact on everybody in the health system.
And does that mean that in some cases, and you mentioned the smaller hospitals, that you have to take patients, you have to make decisions around patients and where they will receive treatment, that if they present in one, they have to be taken by ambulance someplace else?
Absolutely. So our intensivists think about this all the time. Our intensive care service works really at a national level. And we have transferred many people between hospitals at this stage. We have a mobile intensive care transfer service run by our National Ambulance Service. And they move people around depending on bed capacity. So there's only so much pressure we can put on any one hospital. And we have moved many people between different hospitals, both within their own hospital group and outside of their group.
And how are you helping all of these frontline workers, whether it's within the paramedics or the ICU intensivists, as you say? How is the HSE able to help them, perhaps to cope with the levels of stress and strain that they're operating under?
There's a number of things, Mary, that I suppose from the beginning of the pandemic that we've put in place in terms of, you know, I suppose enhanced occupational health support would be one thing. Trying to be flexible with staff in terms of trying to balance home and work, which is very difficult for many of our frontline workers at the minute. And equally, we've also developed a psychosocial framework with a lot of, inputs from specialists in mental health to support staff to be able to access psychological supports online, in person, because this pandemic is very grueling on people psychologically as well as physically. Us, we have to ensure that our staff can work.
And it's been ongoing, and this is the third wave. For example, are all ICU staff now in your intensive care units, or are all around the country, have they all received at least a first dose of vaccine?
Yeah, so when we started vaccinating our frontline healthcare workers, the priority was to vaccinate within the hospital setting, to vaccinate people who were involved in our COVID pathways. So in terms of our emergency departments, our COVID wards, our critical care units and ICUs. So that has been our priority. I'm sure whether there are some people out there who haven't been vaccinated, I can say. But that has been our priority in terms of rolling out this vaccine across our acute hospitals. The priority for vaccination has been based on people's exposure. Regardless, it's not to do with their grade or their discipline. It's to do with where they are perceived as having most risk. And certainly the guidance that has been developed for our system is based on levels of exposure.
The question of PPE, some question around masks and higher grade masks. Is there an issue?
No, I mean, I think that there is a lot of discussion at the minute around these higher grade masks, the FFP2 masks that you reference. We have been supplying these since the beginning of the pandemic, but we know that there's a very high level of concern among staff across the whole system, not just in hospitals, in terms of their potential exposure. And we have been reviewing guidance very recently, particularly in light of the new variants that have come in. And the guidance that we had is broadly appropriate, but we have acknowledged to hospitals and all services that where they feel they need to supply more of these masks, they can. I think it's important, just Mary, just if I could just note that, you know, pre-Christmas we were providing about 106,000 of these masks a week. Since the beginning of January, we're supplying over 1 million a week. So we are supplying a lot more of these higher grade masks across the whole system.
Anne O'Connor, the HSE's Chief Operations Officer, thank you very much.